Everything you see and hear these days is remixed, edited, filtered through some kind of software, and then sent back out to the world, you know.
There is no such thing as a homosexual. There is no such thing as a homosexual. He is designed for a woman. His body is designed for a woman. He is heterosexual, but he may have a homosexual problem. That's the first thing we teach our clients when they come in. You're not a homosexual. You're a heterosexual with a homosexual problem.
That's Joseph Nicolosi, the father of reparative therapy, talking about how there are no homosexuals, only heterosexuals with a homosexual problem. And yet, we wonder why Ted Haggard, after only 3 weeks of therapy, came out and said that he's not a homosexual. Well, you can't be a homosexual if there are no homosexuals. Welcome to, if it's Wednesday, it's X-Gay. The audio of Nicolosi speaking is from Love One Out Phoenix. That was an X-Gay roadshow that was attended by Jim Burraway, editor of BoxTurtleBulletin.com, the website that hosts this podcast. This podcast itself is a multi-part series interviewing Jim about his experiences attending Love One Out. The first half was really about Nicolosi's speech, and the second half is going to be talking about Melissa Freirear and some of the other speakers. Melissa Freirear is a self-proclaimed former lesbian who works at Focus on the Family and is part of the standard lineup for Love One Out. Let's go ahead and we'll just jump right back into that interview.
You know, Nicolosi, he's a professional counselor. He's got a PhD. He's a counselor.
He's a licensed psychologist. Yeah.
Exactly. A psychiatrist, in fact. He's a member of the APA. And so he gives this very clinical talk on male homosexuality. Well, then Melissa Freirear gets up, and she gives a very clinical talk on female homosexuality. Well, the thing that nobody in the audience notices is that she is not a counselor. She doesn't have a degree in psychology. Her degree is in divinity. Her degree is in religion. She's gone to seminary. She is not a psychologist, and she's giving a clinical psychological talk about what makes a woman a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And it's a very contradictory thing. I mean, I wrote out some points of some of the things that she said. It could be, you know, of many causes. She listed feminism, the whole lesbian chic thing, and the experimentation of a lot of kids go through in college.
People take this stuff seriously.
Yeah, yeah. And she talks about the poor maternal bond in childhood, either a dominant mother or a weak mother, you know, pick one. Emotionally distant mother or the best friend mother, pick one. I mean, you know, everybody's mother falls into one of those categories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the emotionally absent father or the abusive father. Poor relationship between parents, whether they have a lot of arguments, whether they're divorced. Loneliness and depression. The changing of feminine gender roles through the past couple of decades. All of these were listed as possible contributory factors to female homosexuality. I would define you to find anybody who doesn't fit at least one of those categories, if not many of them, which is really, you know, I think it almost becomes sort of a Rorschach test. You know, if your child's a lesbian, just pick one. You know, one of these categories is going to fit your family dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But the worst part is when she got to a child sexual abuse. This just, because she listed that as being a major contributor. And she talked about in all of her years as a member, as a director of an Exodus member ministry before she joined Focus on the Family. She said,
I can draw anecdotally from having been a part of an Exodus member ministry for almost a decade. And in those years, having met hundreds of women with this struggle, I never met one woman who had not been sexually violated or sexually threatened in her life. I never met one woman, and I never met one man either, who had not been sexually violated or sexually seduced in his life.
That's just an amazing statement. Were there any other sort of bizarre generalizations, sweeping generalizations that were made that people just accepted?
Well, just about everything they said was accepted. The depression and the horrible, you know, sadness of the gay lifestyle, the all the misery. We're such miserable creatures, and we're terribly unhappy. Our relationships are unstable. It really goes on and on. I mean, Nicolosi constantly referred to it as a pathology.
This is not simply about choosing to live congruent with your faith. This was about painting people in a negative light.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, I mean, it's not the people who, if you really want to talk about choosing, you know, to live in a way that's congruent with your faith, that audience was not there. Okay, the gays and lesbians who should be making that decision apparently have already made that decision because they're not there. The people who are there are the parents and relatives of these gays and lesbians, and they're not in a position to make that decision. You know,
mm-hmm.
They're, you know, the only thing they can do is figure out how to cope with their sons and their daughter's sexuality.
But none of this
that
seems
love went
to be,
out is not giving them
seems,
the tools to deal with that.
Right, none of this seems to have anything to do with coping with their child's sexuality. It sounds like
exactly.
An advertisement that the parents are supposed to channel then to their gay loved ones.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, you know, I picked up off of one of the websites, you know, the seven stages of grief. And I mentioned that parents go through grief. Not seven stages, five stages of grief. These parents are going through grief. They are experiencing a loss. The loss is of a child that they assume is going to be straight, and they're having to come to terms with that. And the five stages of grief are denial, this isn't happening to me, and then anger, why is this happening to me? The remaining three stages are bargaining, I promise I'll be a better person if, depression, I don't care anymore, and then acceptance, I'm ready for whatever comes. Really, I think Love Won Out locks people into the first two stages, denial and anger. And there's no progressing, there's no support for progressing beyond those two stages. It confirms all the worst stereotypes about their own kids. It, what's worse is it essentially sets fathers up as being villains for their son's sexuality. Mm-hmm. It plants in so many parents' mind that my child must have been molested. This was really the thing that really caught me. I was waiting in line for coffee, and this woman was behind me, and we were talking. And all of a sudden, she just started breaking down and crying. She was crying, and she said, I had no idea that they were all molested. And there was some other people with her, and they go, what do you mean? And she says, well, you heard her. You heard her say that she had never met a woman or a man who hadn't been molested, a gay woman or a man who hadn't been molested. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she had never even considered that maybe her son had been molested. And the fact is, there's no reason to believe, I don't think. It doesn't appear to be that there was any reason for her to believe that he had been molested. Apparently, he never said anything. But all of a sudden, because she heard this, she suddenly experienced that grief that a parent feels when they do discover that their child has been molested. There's parents all over this country that have discovered that about their kids, and it's a terrible, terrible feeling that they failed to protect their child. And here, I saw this woman experience this terrible grief, and, you know, frankly, there was probably no reason for her to even experience that. It was just absolutely shocking.
During lunch, what did you do during the lunch break?
Oh, I met with some other parents, and we talked about some of the things that they were learning, and I'll put that in quotes. There was, again, it was, you know, sort of a regurgitation of the things that they heard that morning. There was one guy. He and his wife were there, and they have a daughter, and the daughter is lesbian, and they were just furious at a boy that she used to date in high school, they were suddenly absolutely convinced that something must have gone on between them, and that's why their daughter was lesbian. I mean, it was just there was just suspicions being tossed all around about why their kids turned out to be gay. It was just really horrible. And of course, the things that they heard at Love One Out really encouraged those kinds of suspicions. It was absolutely shocking. So the other thing, too, then, is, you know, there were two questions. Like I said, there was, you know, what made my child gay? And then the second question was, well, what do I do about it? And there, again, I think the prospects for changing their child's sexuality were highly unrealistic. I think probably the worst has to be Nancy Hesh's talk that afternoon.
Yep, it's just going to have to be another cliffhanger, so make sure and check back next Wednesday for a continuation of my interview with Jim on If It's Wednesday, It's X-Gay. More information on this podcast can be found at boxturtlebulletin.com. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial 3.0 license. Theme music is Identity of Self by His Boy Elroy, available at ccmixter.org.